Who is Rabbi Avina? I think it's Ravina. I don't know if it's the same Ravina, but that's what Ravina. Ravina is a contraction of Rabbi Avina, like Rava is a contraction of Rabbi Abba.
Like okay.
What?
Like Achdavoy.
Yeah, like a Ravin is a contraction of Rabbabin.
The one of the speaking times that Rava appears in Yerushalmi
is Rabbi Abba. It is, okay. Isn't it Parade the Rav Chama and Rabbi Yosef? It gives the full name.
So the Aleph would drop in the Rabbi.
What's that?
So the Aleph would drop.
For sure, yeah.
Isn't Rabbi Abba though the Rav? Isn't he like Abba
Rita? There was more than one person who had the name Abba. It seems to have been a very common name.
Uh-huh.
Right. Anyway, so Rabbi Avina, I don't know how often you see this. What? Not surprised, but highly unusual to see it this way. So he told Vene Paksha the Arvos, which apparently was a place, as Rashi observes, that didn't have a lot of water. Okay, so he says, Atun, Kagon Atun. Now, this is the expression kagon atun is the one that tied the Rishonim a little bit in Tanats. What does kagon atun usually mean?
Like you people.
Yeah, it means dafka you. I mean, dafka you are like you. Dafka you are like you. That's what a number of the Rishonim were sort of bothered by. I don't see it on the. I don't think Tosis has this, but the Rashba and the Ritva, Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachos, I think, were all sort of bothered by this particular issue because kagon atun suggests it's dafka limited to them. And so explains that you who don't have water, so Mashiach Daichu, go ahead. So wash your hands in the morning and be Masna on it for the entire day. Ikodam, Ray? Okay, so there are two Lashonos here. Was this only B'Shas Adchak? Or afilu shelo b'shas adchak. But the truth is, what's problematic a little bit about this, and that's what bothers the Yerushalmi, he says, kagon atun, lo shticha l'chumaya. So the question is, wasn't it by definition a shas adchak? So people didn't have water. But anyway, the Gemara presents it as a question of whether or not, whether Ravina's din was dafka b'shas adchak, or even shelo b'shas adchak. So how should we pass it? Yeah.
Shara the Sakir is limited, is defined to a limited as not having water.
I mean, usually that's the reason you wouldn't wash. I think Shasad Chak would not qualify as I don't feel like getting out of my chair to wash. Probably does not constitute Shasad Chak. So either, I think the way Tosus says in another context, either you don't have water or you need the water for other things, that's typically what would make something a Shasad Chak. Or someone who doesn't anticipate having water.
It's called just a chag just because you want to eat. Like, if I eat something else that I wouldn't have to wash for, then...
That's not... I think generally speaking... I don't want to say generally speaking, but that's not... We don't recognize that sort of as a category. Unless you want to eat your food, and this is your food, and it's bread, so this is what you're going to eat. Right, that's not called... We don't say if you have no other food, it's a shasat chag, because that's what people ate. They ate bread.
Even today, people eat bread.
So, anyway, what's the problem with? So this is what the Gemara says. There is a machlokas Rishonim had a paskin. Most Rishonim say, like the Shulchan Aruch, and that is the way the Ramah in fact paskins. Most Rishonim say, this is good to know actually. If you're going on a trip and you're not going to have water, and you can't take along, you don't have a jar or bottle you can take along that you can wash out of. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to wash at an earlier time, let's say before you leave, and then wash, make sure your hands don't get dirty, and be masna on the netila for later, for when you will eventually want to eat.
With a bracha?
With a bracha, yeah.
Wear gloves?
Should you eat bread then?
No.
Wouldn't it just be better to do that, though?
No, because then you get into a different set of problems. I mean, I hear what the mindless point is. You don't need to. There's no need to.
it's hard to keep your hands from becoming contaminated.
Depends what. If you're driving in a car, it's not such a big deal.
Right.
What's that? Oh, so that is the problem that Tosis raises, which is we have a Gemara, it's a Braisa, with slightly different nusach than the Tosefta, but the way the Bavli presents it is Techaf Lenatila Suda. That you're not, now contrary, and those of you who learn Brachas, as you know, we made a very strong point about this. Okay, Amaratzis exhibit number one. Okay? You scream at the child who washed and went to the table and started talking, okay, as you're standing at the sink, washing your hands, and wait before you dry your hands, before you make the bracha, you're screaming at the kid. Okay, that is improper. What the kid is doing is not so bad. But talking after you've washed your hands is improper. And some people go even further worse, is that they'll wash their hands, they'll dry them, but they wait to make the bracha until they're finished talking. Now that is what we refer to in halacha as a bracha levatala. Okay, the bracha netilas yadayim goes on the washing of the hands. Maybe the niguv is part of that. However, once you're done with that, so there is no isser in talking until between the time you finish washing and the time you're actually going to make hamotzi and eat the bread. Now, the Ramah, I think, if I recall correctly, has some type of a chumra hinder not to, but medina tzimutu to talk, as long as you're a Sephardi, Sutton, okay? Come on. So you'll gloat at us, okay, while you talk l'chatchila, and we only, you know, b'di'evet, whatever.
I used to do it to my whole yeshiva, and it was great.
What's that?
I just, like, talk to them, and they
won't
go,
Okay, so...
Edward needs his kidney.
So anyway, so bottom line is that it's mutter as long as you don't have hesech hadas. So if you're careful to guard your hands, in effect, it's mutter to talk. You know, I'm not excluding you. And so it's mutter to talk. Provided that you don't have hesech hadas. Ashkenazim, we're mula more makbenatu, but you have to know medina tzimote, which means if it's a choice between asking for the salt before you make hamotzi or after you make hamotzi, you're supposed to ask before you make hamotzi. Or if you have to tell your kids to come to the table, so you don't have to go and gesture to them, you can call them to the table if necessary, you know, if that's necessary to get their attention. Yes, Moshe.
Based on recent experience, my impression is that people are, as with many, squeamish about. They prefer to do nu and shake their hands and do.
Yeah, because nu is not a hefsek, right? It's a special chair subconsciousive on that syllable. Yeah, okay, there we go.
It's like,
okay.
You know, it's like convincing your wife has the towels and so have to use separate meat and milk. And that's, you know.
You don't? What religion do you practice, Doctor?
None.
Okay. Anyway. So bottom line is you have to know that medina, it's mutter, and again, Ashkenazim as a practice generally don't, but if it's a choice between when to talk, so vaday to talk between the netila and the bracha is vaday asur. And if you've dried your hands, you haven't made the bracha yet, well, guess what? You better wash again, otherwise your bracha is bracha levatala if you're mafsik in between. Whereas once you made the bracha, so then you're really medina allowed to talk until you make hamotzi, and then again, it's asur to talk from the time you make hamotzi until the botzea actually eat some of the bread.
Unless you're saying like pass the salt.
Again, unless it's the tzorech, the achila, such as, you know, either give the animals to eat or pass the salt or something like that, then you have to wait at least till after the botseah has eaten from the bread. Alec?
So, kind of a Lemaisa question. Several times I've been to, like, a place where I've been several times, the Mevarach makes kiddush, and then he starts talking before he drinks. So, then what should I do if I'm an orech there?
Orech.
Orech, whatever. If I'm a guest. Okay.
It's an interesting question.
Like,
yes.
Do you make another bari pri agafen?
No, I do. I have been making another bari pri agafen because I figure that drop isn't chal on anything.
Probably. If you mash it between.
If I go back, should I?
I don't think you have to make the whole kiddush again. I'd have to look. One thing to be aware of, see, the din actually, other way is interesting, we mentioned, is that if once the balabayis drinks, or let's say if you're the botseya, I don't always do this, but when I remember, I try to start to do this, is that if you're botseya for everyone, rather than waiting to cut a slice for everyone before you eat, which might be nice mitzad derech eretz, you should actually to cut a slice, eat immediately, and then cut the rest, because once the botzei and the mavarech, once the mavarech actually has from the bread, midina, everybody else is allowed to talk, even though they haven't actually eaten any bread yet.
Including Kiddush.
I don't see why Kiddush should be any different. The whole point is that the bracha is attached to the achila, and once that's completed, everybody else can eat, even if they're master.
Kiddush is not based on the...
What? Well, I don't think there's such a distinction. Were you in the shir when we learned this last year?
Well, I was also here in the shir, and that was the distinction that I wanted to make, and Rabbi Weider totally shut that down.
I don't remember what I said last year. I remember
the.
You said that
Kiddush was the same as Hamotzi.
Was there any makor that said? I'm thinking if we paskin that about both by Yayin and Pas, that Gemara Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we paskin with Yayin and Pas, you should be able to be one person to Mevarech L'chulam. Why should there be a difference between Kiddush and Hamotzi?
Because you have a chiyuv in Kiddush.
So?
You don't have to drink wine for Kiddush.
No, because the way that we learn as well is that pas, it's every single person's bracha, and one person's mevarech, whereas by yayin, it's the bracha, it's the chiyuv of the mevarech to bless or any sort of including us.
I don't know. Does this sound?
Which
no,
is why we said,
we
know,
didn't say that.
We said that for Kiddush, you should for Kiddush at the mevarech drinks.
No. I think you're mixing this up with something else. No, isn't this about the business of whether or not you have to wait for the balabais to eat? Not on the talking.
No,
I'm talking about that we said there was no difference anyway, because the Gemara said it's just that the normal situation of Yayin is that everybody Yayin in front of them, but people didn't have pas in front of them. But that's not about talking, that's about waiting to eat. Whether you're allowed to eat, and as if I, that's a different thing. It means if I cut the bread and I distribute it to everybody, you're not allowed to eat from the bread until I do. Whereas when I make Kiddush, you're allowed to drink from the Kiddush before I do, but on the assumption only, and this is an Eitzah Tova generally I advise people to do, is that when you have a lot of people at the table, the proper thing to do for Kiddush is to have everybody put a little bit, they don't have all the dinim of kosher, just to pour a little bit of grape juice, wine, whatever they're drinking, into their cups. You make the Kiddush, as soon as you're finished, everybody can drink.
That's what we always do.
Well, it's a good practice because it means less, and affect people less waiting. It's good for many perspectives. That's what I think we were talking about. But Medina, there is no distinction. Pas and Yayin have the same din. It's just that the normal way was that not everybody had Lechem Mishnah in front of them, but people had Yayin in front of them. But I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about the permissibility of talking. Once the Mevarech, the whole point we made was that once the Mevarech makes the bracha and eats, listen, why is it that if I make a bracha, I have a bite? Why am I allowed to talk now and not have to make another bracha before the next bite? It's a hefsek. The answer is because the whole point is that I'm a chuyiv to make a bracha before I eat. In order to be a bracha, it needs an achila to complete it. Once the achila has been done, we're not machbid on hefsek as long as there's no hesek hadas. So that's why when I have a bracha, make a bracha, and I eat one bite, at that point, as long as they don't have hesek hadas from eating, I can talk and I can eat. I don't need to make a new bracha. So the same thing is true that if I am the mevarech, I am the botzea, and I make a bracha, and now I eat a piece of bread, the rest of you are allowed to talk. The reason for that is because I made the bracha, there was an achila attached to the bracha, done. There's no din of hefsek anymore. There's a din of hefsek hadas, but there's no din of hefsek. So that's why Medina, again, we tend to be machmir natu, but Medina, it's mutter to talk once the botzea has eaten. But if the botzea hasn't eaten yet, if he's busy cutting a slice for everybody before he tastes it, then you're not allowed to talk. Until after he's eaten, so it's better to have less of a hefsek generally between the bracha and the achila, and therefore it's proper for the botzeah to take a little piece and then cut the bread for everybody else. Ben.
Yes, which would also mean that in a case like the one that Alec described, when the person who's saying Kiddush doesn't necessarily do it properly, and
so
he doesn't
drink
right away.
You definitely have to make another bar priya gafen.
But if he distributed wine to everybody in advance, then you could drink instead of him.
Correct.
And you could fix it for everybody.
Correct. I believe that's what we concluded last year. Right.
But I would still need a revius in my coat.
No, you don't. That seems not to be an issue.
You need all the dinim because you need. That's the whole thing about Shemei Kaonis.
No, you don't. But in these cases, generally, in the permissibility of drinking before the Makadish drinks, you don't need the all dinim of coats. You certainly don't need the shear or anything like that.
Somebody eventually has to drink a revius.
That's a separate consideration.
That's what I thought Ritva helped.
Abigail?
Yeah, related question. Is one allowed to. What happens in a situation where one is leading a Zeman and other people are Masik? In the middle of Zeman or in the middle of benching, in the middle of Trapos, is one. What are you doing? Like, can you bench in that situation, or should you
Why not? Even if you mafsik the mil birchas hamazon, you still continue. It's usher to be mafsik, but if you mafsik in tefillah also, it's usher, but you still continue. Right? Okay. So anyway.
One more question about the wine.
Yeah.
Most of these I've been to, when they have like a lot of people, they'll pour a little bit of wine from the coast, and then they'll be mafid to like mix some of that wine with more wine.
Yeah, because that's to avoid, the issue is there is you want, yeah, and as that is theoretically proper, you don't want, as long as you have some of the old wine in there, when you pour the wine in, it's an interesting analogy. Is it really necessary? I'm not sure, but it's sort of the analogy when you want to be unpogam yayin, what you need to do is if you pour it into maybe you can even pour some kosher wine, some non-pogam wine into it, and it's machshir. I think that's why people are doing it. They want it to sort of be attached, has some of the kiddush wine in it. Whether that's required midin, I don't remember.
What do you mean?
And that's what you were saying before about people having wine in their cups beforehand. Wouldn't that not?
No, because when you're making the kiddush, it's chal on that as well.
Well, if the bottle of wine's at the table also, then...
Yeah, so you probably don't need it, really. Probably with wine at the table, you probably don't need it.
But you need it for bread.
What?
But you need it, like if everybody had their own lachamisha in front of them and the varach made hamotzi.
Then they can eat before he does. Then they can eat before he does. It's a Yerushalmi that makes beferish the chiluk between the two. It's just the mitzias.
Would it make a difference if people are filling up their cups with different types of
No, doesn't matter. The bracha is chal on that.
Bore pri hamaskato.
Okay. Anyway, thank you for that rendition. Now we will continue. All right. So now, okay. So that's the din. So if you are going on a trip and you're not, let's say you don't have, it's often easier to take along a jug of water or something like that where you can use something to wash with. If you can't, so then you wash before. That is halacha psuka. There's one detail. Let's say take a look at Tosfos. There's one detail that the Ramah says. I'm not sure what the Ramah is talking about here. I think neither is the beer halacha. Okay. Go ahead. Tosfos. Not all them have shachris. Masalem kalayom. Are there any yekas here? Your family make wash before you make kiddush? Oh, you're not real.
I have an uncle who does. So.
What's that? Okay. So this is an interesting gemara. That's the psach.
It goes against the psach.
Apparently, psach of the Ramah.
The psach of the Ramah is that you're supposed to wash before you make kiddush. This gemara certainly appears to be against it, but there's a whole discussion about it. It's not our issue now. But bottom line is, the kiddush is a hefsek between the tilas hadayim and suda. So, the Amar b'perek elu dvarim. That's not Beis Hillel's real reason. That's a davar acher, but it is a second reason offered for Beis Hillel Shita. The first reason has to do with tumah v'tara. So moskin kost v'achar kach notlin, and you don't do the meziga between the tila and the why mishum b'technas tila sidaim suda v'hashda. So what do you mean here? Rav says that the Tanai works all day. So what's the problem there? Now, one possibility, of course, is how would Rav deal with that brisa? Maybe he didn't have that brisa. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel don't give their reasons beferish, at least in the Mishnah. They just have a machlokas whether moskin v'achar notlin yadayim, notlin yadayim v'achar moskin sakos. However, there's no explicit reason given there. So maybe Rav didn't have that tosefta, and he didn't have that reason, and he doesn't hold of it. And then maybe there's a different reason. It's a tumah v'tara question. It has nothing to do with hefsek between the tila and achila. And I'm not even sure if the first thing's even a braces, so maybe that's what Rav would hold. It's a possibility. But obviously that's not Tosis's preferred type of answer, so therefore Tosis quotes two answers. Omer Rabbeinu Tam. What does that mean? That's not a very helpful statement. Is this Xeris HaKasav on time? What's that?
Oh, you're always masna.
But you can masna any time.
No,
Rabbeinu Tam is distinguishing between someone who's masna shachris versus the other cases where you're not allowed to be masna. Right, where you must be mozegas akosta notaliyadayim, or you must be mekadesh and the notaliyadayim. Right, so why not be masna in those cases, Michael?
Maybe because you can be masna at shachris for the whole day because you've got the whole day ahead of you, but if you do it at a random point in the middle of the day, what's the significance of that?
He's reminding me a little bit of those very annoying things that garages have in New York City. You know, the whole day special, but you have to enter before. Otherwise, they charge you the full rate, right? If they figure a full day parker, you know, you don't pay so much. But if they get somebody who's coming in later for a short time, then they're really going to stick it to you. That's what it reminds me of, like the early bird special. And this is the early bird special here, right? Yeah. Why should it matter? You mean masna? Ben?
Is it possible that when we masna lem shacharit is not just the fact that you're washing in anticipation of the whole day, but you're washing because you're having in mind when you're washing for another purpose already?
So Maran Harama says, I'm sorry, Ezra, but I have to say that.
You already have a chiyuv to wash. V'hadim
ahani tonai dafka b'netila she'en atzorach achila dumi netila shachris. Avalam notel atzorach achila l'mahani tonai b'osa netila. So the Bir Halacha has a long discussion here about this. This is quoted, Beis Yosef quotes his name, Rabbeinu Yonah. The question is, does this mean I think he understands that really what this has to mean. It's not, in other words, you have to have another legitimate purpose for washing. If I don't want to eat right now, now is my access to water, and then I'm going on this trip, so the netila is the tzarach achila, and that's also to be mafsik between the netila and the achila. It's only if I were washing, let's say, because it's shachris, or I'm washing because I have the daven, or I'm washing because I went to the bathroom. So then I can be masked on that netila to also go on my achila later in the day. The Bir Halacha does not like that. He thinks that's not what Rabbeinu Yonah means. Even if you hold like Rabbeinu Yonah, he thinks that it means, and this is really what the question Rabbeinu Tam is holding, in effect. He thinks really it would mean that if I want to eat now, I'm not allowed to wash now and then be masked with something else. If I don't want to eat for 3 hours from now, but now I have access to water, that also would be mutter. In other words, what I'm not allowed to do is when I want to eat and it's time to wash, I'm not allowed to be between washing and the achila. But if my intent is not at all to eat now, so al karchach, you're going to have a hefsek anyway, so then it's not a problem the fact that the primary purpose of the washing is to be able to eat later. Okay. So that seems to be the conclusion. That's the conclusion that the Bir Halacha comes to. So you need to know this, Lemaisa. Moshe?
What's the difference? What's the difference between a hefsek when we're doing longer or shorter?
No, the point is that if I'm prepared to eat, it's inappropriate to be mafsek between the tila and the achila. Once I'm not prepared to eat, but I'm washing only because I won't have access to water later, so then that's a different story. So therefore, if I can do I want to eat now, I'm going to have to do mezigas akos anyway. I'm going to have to do kiddush anyway. And the question is, so I'm going to eat at the same time very shortly. The question is, do I have the option of arranging that the kiddush comes after before the netila, so I don't have to do it after the netila? Do I have the option of doing mezigas akos before the netila, so I don't have to do it after the netila? So then you have to do the netila, techaf le netila suda. But no matter what I do, it's not going to be techaf, because I'm not planning on eating now, and the only reason I'm washing now is because now is when I have the water. So then it would be that masna adam, you know, no tell adam eshtei adam shachris umasna and pen kula.
That's what the
Bir Halacha. That's what he comes to the conclusion of. Yeah.
Which simon?
It's simon kuf samach dalin, and it's the sif aleph. Thank you. Okay. Yeah.
Is that what you can tell us with this? Does Afa Gap the North Nidra Ashlo Shasta Tat? Doesn't that imply that the previous answer was that it only works Shasta Tat when you're unable to get water?
No. Because let's see the end of the second answer in Tosis. Did Jason have a question on the first one?
I was just wondering, are we sure the reason for washing at the beginning of the day is for tumatara purposes or for physical cleansing?
Why we wash at the beginning of the day?
I'm saying why would we?
Because a person is the din is a person is don't adam adam. No till adam yadav shachris. That's a din. You wash either because of ruach ra, you wash because your hands might be dirty, whatever else.
So we're saying that that's going to cover. We're trying to figure out if that's
that will cover. Rav says if you make it tonight at that time and you're not and the way that we shall explain you're not misiach das, that covers your nitiyos adayim for the entire day.
For
eating bread.
For not for physical.
Well, no. If your hands get dirty again, then you're going to have to wash again. Yes. Okay. So the second answer. Okay, now I don't really understand this teretz. Now, I think, Moshe, that the first teretz also assumes, as a davar pasuk, shelo b'shas atchak. And in fact, if Tosus made the chiluk, he could have just said. If Tosus is understanding all along, or the first teretz was that it's only b'shas atchak, that's the answer. The cases of Moshe, what's that?
Moshe understood the answer, right?
That's how.
Didn't you mention that's how the Behalach understood the first answer? The Master Shachris means that.
No. The Ramos said no. The Behalach said that it's only no. He said that the limitation that you can't be masna b'shas when you're washing lachila, but it has to be for washing for other purposes. So he says it doesn't mean that you can't be that if you want to eat. 3 hours from now, but you're not going to have water, you can't wash now. It means if you're ready to eat now, and you're going to eat now, and the question is, but you want to be masna, you have to do two things, and Tila is one of them, that you're not allowed to be masna and mafsik, because you should take off l'netila suda. In a case where you're not interested in eating now, and the reason why you want to wash now is because you won't have any water later, so then you're allowed to wash and be masna al yodav for achila purposes.
That's how you understand Tosfos' first answer of masna shachris.
Correct.
That's when you can't get any water.
Right. In other words, if there's no shas atchak, but if I'm washing for another purpose, I can be masna, and that's fine. But if I'm washing for the purposes of achila, so where Tosfos says that you're not supposed to be masik, where all those brises say not supposed to be masik, that means when you want to eat now. And you're making netilah for the eating now, you're not supposed to be masik between the netilah and that thing, because you could just as well flip it around and do the mezigas hakos first or do this first. Right? So there's no reason to be masik between the netilah and the suda. Mm-hmm. Right? In the case of not adam shachris, it's convenient for him just because he's washing now, so let me have it cover the entire day's thing. Right. So then it's mutta to be masna, even though it's not shasatcha. But once you're already washing, you're going to eat immediately following the washing. The only question is, what order do you do the mesika and the tilin? So then we say you should have techa to the tila suda. So the second teret says that really, it's only mutta b'shasatcha. Even though Tosu says, afal gad the mot tanai l'rava f'shav shasatcha. Hainu, when is the shasatcha? No. What? So obviously the question is, what is the definition of shas atchak? It means I'm starving to death and there's no water around, and even though I know that's going to come to be, I know the food is 20 miles away and I'm going to have to march through parched desert in order to get there, and can I wash the tila sida? I mean, alright, I'm still
sorry,
but what's...
I asked you earlier, you said it was if you didn't have water.
What's Tosos doing with that?
What's that?
Tosos is
defining
not lo b'shas atchak
when you don't have water. So what's shas atchak? You know, it's interesting. The Mishnah Erefin says that arba dvarim patru v'machane. The Mishnah, the last, I think it's the last Mishnah in the first paragraph. The four things they patru in the machane. So one of them was Netilas Yadayim. So the Gemara says, but only Mayim Rishonim. Mayim Achronim is Mishum Sakana, and that you behoyev even a Machane Mechama. But Mayim Rishonim, you pater. Any of you, some of you might have served in the army, you stern. Did you wash Netilas Yadayim when you were in the army? Mayim Rishonim?
I'm sorry?
Did you wash Mayim Rishonim? You didn't need to wash Mayim Rishonim when you were in the Machane.
There was one time.
Okay. So Arba Dvar and Pachim, I think Erev Chatzeris, the Erev you don't need. And Mayim Rishonim, and I forget what other couple of things they exempted.
What we need to do is
where
just
is
take
first
it
part?
Inside the tank itself and to like pour water on top of the tank.
They should have taught you guys some halacha. Okay, I'm stumbling. Your superiors didn't love the idea of you pouring water onto the floor.
Wait,
of the tank.
No, it doesn't make a difference. It just goes into
the holes. Okay, fine.
Mavin Eitzim Mikol Makom.
Okay, demai. I mean eitzim, right? Okay, fine.
I forgot what that is.
That means that if you're gathering eitzim, they might necessarily be hefker, but chacham u'mafker them. You could take them for your needs. Yeah, for cooking, for keeping warm, whatever it is. Michael.
Maybe according to Tos Vashada, chak is when you have no water and you're extremely hungry, starving. But nashada, chak is when you don't have water but you don't really need to eat very badly.
Even
if you don't really need to eat.
I don't think Shas HaDchak refers to whether you need to eat or not. I think Shas HaDchak refers to everything around it. I think Bashita, the fact that I want to eat, I don't have to be starving, and that's not, for these purposes, I don't think that's called, I don't think you would say that's a Shalob Shas HaDchak. I don't know. I don't know the answer. It's very strange. Very strange. The only thing that can be said in support of Tosfos is that the Gemara itself, when Ravina said to Bnei Paksa the Arvos, "Kegonatun de lo shchichelu mayim mashu yadaychu mitzafra," ikadami b'shas atchak in shalom b'shas atchak log upliga the Rabbi. Then Rafi the shalom b'shas atchak. But all the Rishonim say, they're bothered by the fact that this was a shas atchak. And they say that Kigonatun means he's giving them Eitzah Tova. Since you guys are going to have trouble finding water later, you should wash now. Anybody could wash now if they wanted, even if they're not going to have trouble finding water later.
So,
but you certainly should.
I would not suggest that the case is that the Shas HaTchak is what Michael is saying.
No, the Gemara doesn't suggest that.
No.
Well, yes. If you read the Gemara, I agree. I was starting to say the Gemara, when I changed course in the middle, without the qualification of the Rishonim, it sounds like Shchicha Lumaya does not define Shas HaDchak. Even if Lo Shchicha Lumaya, it can still be Shelo B'Shas HaDchak. But what does that mean?
I was saying a general Lo B'Shas HaDchak would just be a case where, like the Arvos, where they just generally don't have water.
Right.
But a real Shas HaDchak would be where not only do you not have water, but you want to eat right now.
Okay. All right. Anyway, Tosus Hashita is not quoted Lalacha. Neither is Rabbeinu Chananu. How did Rabbeinu Chananu paskin? You wouldn't know unless you looked at any of the other Rishonim, which I didn't ask you to look at, but it's mutter to look in, the Rosh Brother Advice, if the Spirit moves you, because they sometimes provide an alternate perspective. And Rabbeinu Chananu pas is quoted by many Rishonim as paskining L'chomra, that it's only B'Shas HaDchak. Why did most of the Rishonim not paskin that way? So number one, you have a Lishna Basra here. And that in itself should almost, some Rishonim say you always paskin like a Lishna Basra, certainly by the Rabbanon. So in this case, it's a Sveka, even at worst case scenario, even if you don't have a preference for one of the Lishonos as a general rule, it's a Sveka Rabbanon. Sveka Rabbanon should be Lekula. there is a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah you should be aware of. It's Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. It's a very important Tosefta that's quoted there from Adios about it's the Makor for Sveka Daraisa Lahomra and Sveka Darabana Lakula. So Tosfos there goes through a series of positions as to which Lashon you generally paskin like under what circumstances. It's, a Kalmakom Shata Motze, Shnei Chachamim Echad Metar Ve'Echad Metame Echad Oser Ve'Echad Matir. So halachah har machmir, Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha omer b'shel Torah halachah har machmir, B'shel Sofrim Halech Achar Amekel, and then we say Halach Rav Yishuv Ben Karcha. So Tosfos there talks about two Lashonos in the Gemara, one's Machmir, one's Mekel, which one do you paskin like? So like four sheetahs that Tosfos quotes, I think, as to how to be Machmir between two Lashonos. Okay. Fine. Any further comments about this? Okay, so this is Halach HaPsuki. You should be aware of this, Ben.
Would there be any reason to assume that eating in the morning is better than eating in the evening?
I don't think so.
Because Matnei Alein Kol Hayom throws it out.
Does what?
Matnei Alein Kol Hayom makes that irrelevant.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Next in.
So how do we
paskin
here again? Sorry.
We paskin that filu shalob shasadcha. The Ramah just adds that one condition, but the Bir Halacha severely constrains that. So if you're going on a business, if you're going on a trip and you have water now, you can wash, according to the Bir Halacha, at least what he appears to arrive at the conclusion, as long as you're not interested in eating now, so then you can wash now and you'll eat later. If you could take water along, but if
you do, after thinking that you're not going to find the water on your trip, and all of a sudden you do find water, do we say that you would wash again? Or?
You can wash again. The Mechaber recommends. The Mechaber quotes this, but you don't make a bracha. Toshi asor v'yita yadav. Why? Because midinu you would say with the first one.
And if your hands get dirty,
then you have to wash and you make a bracha. Okay.
How do we define dirty compared to
tefillin? So I know that some people say you touch your shoe. I'm not convinced that applies today, because our shoes are much cleaner, especially the tops of our shoes, especially when you don't live in a place with dirt roads. If you live in a place with dirt roads, then you touch your shoe, you probably should wash your hands. I think that if you would wash your hands, if your hands are dirty on the level that you would wash your hands before eating for sanitary reasons, then you can wash them tilas yadayim. Then you've had a hesech hadas with a bracha, yeah. Everybody counts as hesech hadas. If you kept your hands in the steering wheel the whole time, or, you know, you put on our gloves, right? Then that's a different story. But if you would go wash your hands just because your mother told you, okay, please go wash your hands before you eat, then you can wash your hands and tilas yadayim.
Also, how is this different from Birkas HaTorah, which you make a one bracha at the beginning of the...
Because Birchas HaTorah Pashtus is not a Birchas HaMitzvah.
What is it?
It's a Birchas, it's either a form of Tefillah or Birchas HaShevach. And the Raya is that even the Mechaber paskins that women can make Birchas HaTorah. Yes.
Even though
he normally does not allow people to make voluntary brachas, like a Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama. So it's the only place where, again, there must be a Tos Sofer, but it's the only error, I think, that I could judge if ever even found in the Gra. In the Bi'ur Gra there, he tells you to look earlier in Shulchan. That's in the Mem somewhere. He tells you to look early in Shulchan Aruch by Hilchos Tzitzis. The only problem is in Hilchos Tzitzis, the Mechaber says you can't make a bracha. It's the Ramon says you can. But it's the Mechaber says they can make Birchas HaTorah. That's the famous Teretz of the Magen Avram. The famous Teretz of the Magen Avram is that, because women have to learn those mitzvahs which are Shayach to them, which is very difficult Teretz, because Pashtus is that woman, it's not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. If they knew the din, they wouldn't have any chiv to learn, so it's not a chiv on Talmud Torah. You have to know the dinim that are relevant to you. But the Pashtus is, if you look at the Rambam puts Birchas HaTorah within the context of Hilchos Tefillah, not within Hilchos Talmud Torah. And I think that's because it's either because it's a Birchas HaShevach or because it's a chiluk of Tefillah.
What's this?
It's a mitzvah that women are pturos from, is the point. Normally it's mitzvah shesman grama. There are exceptions on both ends. You know, Talmud Torah tefillin is man grama. I forget what it is. Talmud Torah. There are at least three on each end that they count. You know, three zman gramas, they're chayavosin. Three in zman gramas, they're pturos. I think, I don't remember what they are. What's that? No, well, I mean, Kiddush would be one of those, but I don't remember. They're listed in Kiddushin. The bottom line is that Peturas from Talmud Torah, nonetheless, they make a bracha on it. So it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah. Okay. And even though our minhag is to say, you know, Birchas Kohanim and a Mishnah and a Braisa afterwards, if you didn't, and then you were mafsik, we don't say that. That you have to make another Birchas HaTorah.
Women should not say the bracha on Hilas Lulav if they do?
If they're Sephardi, they don't.
If they're Sephardi, they don't.
Unless they're progressive Sephardi. Right? Meaning they ignore their husband, right?
They're not
married to an Ashkenazi.
What's
that?
If they're married to an Ashkenazi.
Well, then of course they're not progressive to taking on their husband's minhagim. But
so, like,
if there's a woman who's an Ashkenazi who doesn't want to take on her husband's practice, her husband doesn't mind, she'll continue to make brachas. But Sfardi women do not make brachas on mitzvah sishas ban grama. Because that's the famous machlokas, the Rambam and Tosfos, and machlokas mechaber and Ramah. And the mechaber holds women can wear tzitzis, but they can't make a bracha. The Ramah holds that women don't wear tzitzis, but if they did wear tzitzis, they'd make a bracha. Okay. Anyway, now the Ramah says mishum yuara, they don't. Okay. Anyway, fine. No, he says he doesn't say they can't. So it's mutter. The Ramah says it's a concern of yuara.
Wait, but if they do, they don't make a bracha.
But they don't make a bracha, because according to the Sfardim do not make a bracha, excuse me, Rekha.
Yes.
Last, what's today?
Monday.
No, I'm not going to ask you about females in your family. Last Thursday, you daven shachris?
Yeah.
You said hallel? Yeah. Did you make a bracha?
No.
I hope it's not shocking to you guys. I know it's not shocking to Ezra or to Ben. Svardim don't make a bracha on Chati Hallel, because Chati Hallel is a minhag.
Not only that, we're not even supposed to answer on
him. To an Ashkenazi bracha. Okay.
I don't see how that makes sense.
Because you don't want to answer Amen to a bracha levatala. That's why. I say bracha on Chati Hallel. I'm an Ashkenazi, but that's famous machlokas Tosus and Chachamei Svard, whether or not you can make a bracha on something you're not mechuyevim, but you're volunteering. And that applies to minhag as well. So therefore, any minhagim, svardim do not, things that are only midim minhag, they don't make a bracha. And Ashkenazim will do, not everything, but there are lots of things we do make a bracha. Yeah, okay.
But, so do svardim have kiddush and shul?
I'm sure they don't. But for Ashkenazim, that's l'chor bracha levatala too. a lot of shul, my shul doesn't. The Rav was very opposed to it. It may not be worth making a machlokas over, but it's better not to make kiddush and shul. There's no one who's yotze, the orchem or not.
Okay, but a child too.
What's that?
So
that's great chinuch. What do you mean has a child do it? Okay.
No, but let's say, although this would actually be lemaisa. Let's say somebody's like a shul rabbi, and they think it's a bracha levatala, but it's the minhag of the community to make kiddush.
So if they take a poll of the balabatim and nobody's going to get upset and nobody's going to be annoyed by it and they're just happy to get out of shul faster. Here's the rule. No, balabatim rarely get upset when you're shortening the davening. So if they're, you should explain to them why you think they shouldn't, and if they're really almost unanimously willing not to have kiddush, then you shouldn't say kiddush.
But if they say, no, this is what we've always done it.
Then let them do it.
No, but then the shul rabbi should do it then, or should he have a balabas do it?
And usually the guy who davens for the omid does it. So? You have to...
Your shul.
What's that?
In your shul.
Yeah, in some shuls...
There are many, many shuls
okay.
Where the rabbi is.
No. You ask me then. Okay. Fine.
Wait, why is it a bracha levatala? I mean,
because it's not asher kiddush antzasa vitzivanu. It's not vitzivanu. There's no mitzvah.
Could have said kiddush.
In shul, nobody's gonna can eat on the basis of that kiddush. There's no din of kiddush there unless you make
except
it a makom suda.
People who are eating in the shul.
Wait, so firstly, it's also to eat in a shul. A, B, there's none of the Orcham
okay,
are eating.
The
Orcham are not eating in the side rooms is the point. The Rishon already talk about this because this was only done when we used to be Orcham who would be fed in the Beis HaKnesses.
You guys make Kiddush and then you don't eat?
You may go back home and you'll make Kiddush at home, yeah.
Now we have cranberry apple crunch in the middle.
Is this the... are you only talking about the one at night?
Mother,
yeah.
How about like for the Kiddush, like when they make Kiddush in the shul for the main Kiddush?
That's a different story. That's the only question of Shini Malkam, but that's probably okay because yeah. Since your Kavan is in the first place, whatever.
Can I just have a party?
You are.
Okay, enough, guys. All right, enough friskiness. All right, let's move on. Ari, your turn. Relieve your chavrusa.
Amar Rav Papa.
Although I have to say, given these two sugyas, it's like pulling the starting pitcher after the second inning. The reliever will finish the last seven. Go ahead. All right.
Amar Rav Papa. Hi, Arisa de Dalai. Ain't open your mental yadayim.
There's a big... Okay. Now, there's a machlokas in Girsa here, and there's a big machlokas in Rishon and what the Metzia is here. What is an Arisa here?
So, we've got a carriage. This is like...
Carriage?
Rashi just says that it's like a pipe, an irrigation pipeline.
Okay, and it's obviously, what type of pipe do you envision here of Etzinor? Can you describe it to me?
Open metal.
It's going to be an open pipe.
Yeah.
Okay, what does the word Arisa mean?
A carriage, generally.
Carriage?
No.
Sounds like it's
like a, that's with an ion.
What?
Sharecropper.
No, 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 no. Loy mit an ion. And a samach. That's a good line, actually.
That sounds good. That's
okay.
Good.
Right. You have to put in loy, semicolon, mit an ion and a samach. Okay? Aris, ion resh samach is a carriage. Okay? Aleph resh top might be something that carries water, but it's not a carriage, okay? Okay, so the actually, this is a Yehuda? Yeah. Tosa says, if you're looking at the Targum for the word Ye'or, it's only true in Unklus, but that's probably the only Tosas, the only Targum Tosas had. In Unklus, the word Arisa is for the irrigation channel, the Ye'or, presumably what it is. The problem that Tosas, however, says that that doesn't mean that Tzinar is called the Arisa, because the Arisa is actually an irrigation channel. Now, so much so that there's a big machlokas Arishonim here, what exactly is an Arisa D'Dalai? Because Chachmei Svarad, who happened to also have another Girsa in our Gemara, as do every single Ksav Yad that we have, differs from our Gemara, but they assume that the Ramban is Kimat Beferish when the Rashba quotes him. He doesn't spell this out, but it's pretty clear, and the Mitzvah writes this explicitly. Arisa D'Dalai was not an irrigation pipe, it was an irrigation ditch. There's no kli here.
What's the difference?
One is a kli and one is in the ground.
Hold on.
So the question is, wait, time out, just wait, let's be patient, okay? The Bahag is going to get his day in court here. All right? But anyway, so that Rashi understands Arisa D'Dalai means you have this kli, which is presumably on a slope, you raise the water up, you put it into this open pipe, and it flows down and it flows across the property and gets to somewhere else. That's how you make it travel, right? So rather than having to carry the water all the way across, you lift it up just a little bit. It's a phenomenal principle of physics known as gravity. You can do amazing things with gravity. Okay. You know, not the least of which is you can jump off a high place and you'll hit the ground very hard. Anyway, you can do actually some phenomenal things with the power of gravity and suction as well. If you've ever seen siphoning, right? If you get it started, you can. It's really amazing, actually, how you can take, if you take a siphon and you put one end in, let's say the water here, and you have the other end come out way down there, and you just start it going, the water will continue to flow through that siphon. It's an amazing thing, actually. But only provided that the where it comes out is lower than the place that it's starting out. It's amazing. What's that?
No,
when IV, they usually raise it up high. No.
No, but it can go through that.
Oh, yeah, and that's in that sense probably. Well, that's true. No, but that's different because that's water pressure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's simply so downward water pressure. That's a different issue. This is actually an amazing thing. If you want to be really nasty to someone who has an above ground pool, I grew up with one of these, and we had to empty the pool. This is the way you did it. You got it started. If you really, you just, all you need to empty that pool, you just need time and a tiny, tiny little hose, and all you got to do is start the suction, put the end, lower end below on the ground, the upper one there. You don't need any mechanized things, and they'll come back in the morning, and their pool will be empty. But don't tell them. When I grew up, when we had to empty the pool, we did it in the winter or something like that. That's how you would do it. You don't need an electric pump. You just need to get it started. It's an amazing thing. Okay. You know, they'll say Rabbeim run wild in physics. Okay. So anyway, so an Arisa D'Dalai, basically, it's like almost like a water tower, by the way, in municipalities, in effect. You just raise the water up, and then it flows down to wherever you want it to flow. You do need to pump it up, obviously. So according to Rashi, it seems to be some kind of a kli. However, let's look at, there's another gears in the Gemara, but let's hold off on that till we get through Rashi first. So Ari, what read Rashi, Harisa de Daloi.
Harisa de Daloi, Tzinor Sheshokun lo Mayim and I orbitally, who molech Mayim was others.
Okay, fine. Ain't not the Mimenali Adayim.
Ain't not the Mimenali Adayim, let's say Ziada Lesoho, Viglechua Mayim Lesohan, the Labi Kalach Gavra Asushikar, Avar Kalach Ashofi, Nakach and Mealayim.
Now this is a very interesting. The ain kan lo.
The ain kan lo netila lo tevila. Netila the la mikol akavra kasi. Tevila nami bitzin or lesa. She ain kan shir mikol.
So Rashi insists. This is consistent l'shitas on kovavam and aleph. Rashi insists that you must have a shir mikvah for tevilas yadayim. The Ritva there disagrees. We didn't look at that Ritva, but the Ritva disagrees and says no. In principle, that was by Paske Basbirta, where Rashi says that it's mechuber lemikvah because it doesn't have memsa, but Rashi says, Rashi insists it's mechuber to the tchamei tveria, because if it were mechuber, Rashi says it wouldn't be good because there's no arbayim sa. Rav says, no, it's not true. By tefilas yadayin, it didn't require memsa. That's we're not so machmir. We saw Tosis also. Now, Rashi, on the first part, is interesting. Rashi says, the lo asumi koach gavra. So the truth is, there is a problem here. There's a problem here. No, I understand. I don't mean just in Rashi. The problem is, what exactly does it mean, mikoach gavra? Meaning, when I pour water, if I raise the water up and I pour it down, how else is it going down? Unless you argue that the reason the water is here is because somebody raised it up and poured it. What does it mean that it's no longer... And the Gemara says what? Look at the one more line in the Gemara. V'imi karvei legavei davla. Daloi means to draw. If you put your hands very close to the place where the guy empties the water, the ka'asumi koach gavra, not limen v'yadayim. Now, how close is close? How far from the original source do we say... What you hear, I have a kli for the moment. Assume it's a kli. That's slightly sloped. So how do you decide that 1 foot away, 2 feet away, what makes that mikoch gavra?
I thought they were saying you get it while
the guy pours in the bucket.
No, what's the point? What do you need to tell us that? If
the
guy pours
the... But then I ran into your problem, so I won't.
But the other way is not. The other way is to have a pressure. It's somebody pouring water on your hands. It's mikrav legavit. That's a very interesting question. I will tell you that their sense of physics is a little bit different than ours. I don't think... Which is the law of momentum? Newton's second law?
Momentum?
The law of momentum.
An object in motion tends to sustain
motion. No. What's F equals MA?
That's the second?
Force
equals mass.
Okay, so it's Newton's first law. They seem to have a different sense. So much so that when you have this notion, well, I don't know if this is technically the same thing. The Chazal have this idea that if I throw the ball up in the air and it lands and kills somebody, so it depends whether or not it's stopped in midair or something. Well, there are a lot...
He threw an arc or he threw straight up.
No, they talk. I have to remember now how it goes in Sanhedrin. They talk about throwing an arc.
If you throw an arc, it's still your force. Therefore, you're chayav. But if you throw it straight up,
right? But the reality, but there's a failure there to break the force into vectors and realize that what's killing the person isn't the sideways force. It's a little bit depends on the arc.
Yeah.
No.
If you throw a ball straight up, then there will be a point where it is not
zero.
Thank
you. Yes, I took real physics as a. And I'm the child of his, I understand that. So the point is, nonetheless, the force that's killing the person is primarily the downward force, which is just reversing your force effectively that went up.
I know in Shechita, there's the halacha that if you throw a knife up in the air and then it falls down and does a proper Shechita, it's not valid because it's not
Mikol Gavra. I understand. So that's a very, very strange...
I thought the animal Bidyevit isn't. I thought Bidyevit...
Yeah, but if you throw it straight...
Then it's Kocho. That's Kocho, right. So I don't know exactly, but how do you determine what is koach adam? Okay, but anyway, that's what the Gemara says, and that's what that Rashi repeats. Now, the imikrav, go ahead. Okay, Rashi says, k'shadola shofech.
K'shadola shofech.
So it's clearly not pouring on him.
I don't think it's clear. I hear.
That's what you can disagree with Rashi, but I think what Rashi says is pretty.
No, I don't think. How do you see it in Rashi clearly?
Rashi
next
says, "Keshadovla shofech v'zeno sen yadav samuch l'makom hashvicha."
Close, near, under.
No, some.
I'm just saying
it's possible. Not al yadav. L'toch yadav, shapir
dami. I don't understand why Rashi is using that language of...
He's not pouring on his hands. Now, continue in Rashi. Now the Gemara adds another tonight. Jason, a question on this?
Yeah, I'm really asking first. What is built here? Because Rafi and I did it earlier, I have a little different idea of what the fixture was.
Imagine a U-shaped pipe that runs here, okay? And you go put your hands either in the pipe or at the end of the pipe. We'll leave that aside for now. Ben goes and pours the water here. Comes down the pipe, it passes over your hands. Question is that good or not? So the Gemara says that if I'm here, no. If I'm right near, I don't know how right near means, samach l'makom hashvicha, then it's good.
The water, it's not a constant?
When he pours it for a time, as long as he continues to pour at the top, it will be a continuous stream. Yes.
Interesting. If it's attached to the
Is that like attach the cloth?
No, apparently no. Once the water's out of my hands, at some point it's going on its own. It's only going because I gave it the potential energy of raising it up, and now it's taking advantage of that to continue sliding down. Right? But if I hadn't raised it up and given that potential energy and then let it go, well, guess what? It wouldn't be coming across my hands. Now, you could say, again, in other words, you could say that similar to the Sanhedrin thing, that it has to be sideways force, not up-down force. In other words, all you did, in other words, when you pour it out this way, and this might give you the shear, by the way, how far would it go if it were perfectly flat? If I have a perfectly flat surface and I pour water this way, it's going to splash a little bit that way. As far as that would go might be considered koach gavra. But that which it gets only because it's on a slope, only because I invested it with potential energy, but not because, and remember, it's because I'm pouring, in other words, if I go up on top of a roof and I drop a flower pot on your head, no one's going to say that's not me koach gavra, even though I didn't throw it down. I just let it go. Right? I don't think anybody's going to say that. I don't think so. I think that would be Mitzicha Mamish. So, apparently, but when I don't, even though I gave it potential energy, and I'm just letting it go. Right? Somehow that would be. But here I'm not. It's here. It's not like I'm pouring it on top of your hands. It's going sideways. So apparently the ego direction is sideways, and the potential energy with which I invested it doesn't really matter. Sure. Hi, Arisa de Daloi. That's the pipe setup that I described to you. Ain't no, let me metal your dime. You can't make this a dime with it. The lo aso mikoach gavra. They don't come mikoach gavra. Ve'i mikrav legabe devala. If your hands are very close to the point where the person is drawing the water and pouring it at the top of the pipe, or at the high end of the pipe, then, no, let me metal your dime. That's all. We haven't gotten to the last step yet. Okay? Now, yeah, it's a second person pouring. You have to be really talented to pour and then run to the other end. Okay? Faster than speeding water.
I always thought it was some sort of natural flow. That's
never be koach gavra.
Then it would be never koach gavra, is correct.
Unless you were turning off and on.
Fine. Nani achta, let's say you're doing that. That's fine. A faucet.
Oh, yeah.
Let's say I had a faucet that allowed water into the refine, but that'd still be not me koach gavra. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. But assume that someone's pouring at the top as well.
That's a good point.
Go ahead,
because
Ari.
We had to discuss that about Ibazia Maya and Lusharim, right?
Okay. So then, V'ibazia Davla, V'kones Mashke, Melef Laifi Umatu Basayadayim. What does the words Melef Laifi mean?
Patch well.
What does that mean? Some of you might recognize that word from the Targum. Rashi does not tell you the word. Rabbeinu Gershom does translate the word without telling you that the word means that. Chibur. Yeah. You know where you have, what's that? Usilafeif. V'chibarta. Correct. V'chibarta is usilafeif. That's the word. It's confusing because Melef, Yalif, is to learn. Yud Lamed Pei. This is Lamed Pei Pei.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Melef Laifei. Okay, it's really lamed pei pei, so it means it's mechubar. If the davla has a hole, b'kone smashke means if I have a kli, I can make a hole in it, water may get out. But if I want to take that very same kli and put it on top of water and have the water leak in, the hole has to be bigger. That's called nekev b'kone smashke. Water enters. Okay, it's bigger than motzi mashke. So now, normally, so the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, if you have a nekev bekone smashke. So Rashi said, read Rashi. The ibazia davla bekone smashke.
Ibazia davla bekone smashke. Kishanekev machni smashke. Gadol hutzas. Kilua chayotze mimenu.
Nira. And the stream of water that's going to end up coming out of it back into the river.
I just didn't understand which kli had.
At the way end of this, here's what I have. I have my half pipe. That's, you know, goes from high to low, and the back of the pipe is a little bit sticking out over the ore. And when I take water and I pour it at the top, there's a hole there, so most of the water comes down, but there's a steady stream of water that's going down through the top of the pipe back into the river. So what do I have? I now have, technically, by doing it this way, I have the river connected to my flow of water. Mm-hmm. There's a continuous connection.
Yeah, but only according to
Lam. Lamb, the great historian, says, only according to Qumran, who holds Nitzel Kechibor. Yeah. But Tosos already was makdim you.
Yeah.
And Tosos says that There are two coolas here. Number one, normally, in order to have chibur of two bodies of water, what do you need? Rashi says, read Rashi.
Yeah, so
Rashi says that, the hole is letting water flow backwards, in effect, back into the or. So Melef Layef, Rashi says, Hatsinor imayor, he doesn't tell you what the word means. It means mechubar. Imayor, ayidei deli, umat bilin, bitsinor, asayadayin, delav tfila gemurahi. Why can you do tfila? Because it's connected to the river. It's like doing tfila in the river. Vidaya bechibur zev, alo be'inan, kishifoferes hanod, which is a thicker pipe. Normally, if you want two mikvahs connected together, you need a thickness of kishvoferes hanod. Okay, that's what when you have it in the mikvah between the rain pit, the rainwater pit, and the main mikvah, there is a plug somewhere, and that has to be kishvoferes hanod. You open it, it joins, it's mashke, the two waters together, or mishake, the two waters together. And there you require kishvoferes hanod. Here, kones mashke is enough. So Tosas already, Rashi says, because not mamish tevila, and Tosus adds that there are two kulas here. We have the afal gav. Tosus writes, read Ari. Iva ziyadavla bekonis mashka melef laifei. The afal gav. And if we paskin like the rabbis, not like Qumran. Like the Prusha, not like the Tzukim. It's in the Mishnah also. We don't have that Qumra.
So how would, the question is how would that wouldn't work for Rashi, because Rashi says you do need a share of tefillah called gufa.
You do, but Rashi does say himself. He says there's a kula that you don't require kishofer sanod. It's enough to have.
Yeah, but he just says that.
Konis mashka, because they were by this they were makeup by netilah shadayim. Okay, I mean, you know, you asked Rashi why here and why not there. I don't know. So Rashi, you know, I don't think Rashi disagrees with Tosus. He just doesn't spell out the nitzok kachibur part. Yes.
Yeah.
You don't mean Konis Mashke, you mean Shofar Sanod?
No. Konis Mashke.
Konis Mashke, okay.
Yeah. Is that if you take the cleat and put it on top of
water, the water will enter in. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Well, but you were saying that it's on top and that it's dripping out.
No. No. I explained the term Konis Mashke means what you just quoted. That's what I said Konis Mashke is. In this case, it means that the hole, it's dripping out, but the hole in the end of the pipe has to be large enough of Kones Mashka. The assumption behind that probably is so that when water's coming out, it's a steady stream. I don't think it's Xeris HaKasav of Kones Mashka or Xeris Rabbanon of Kones Mashka. I think it's that if it's not Kones Mashka, it'll be drip, drip, drip as opposed to steady stream. Kones Mashka is bigger than Motzi Mashka. But Kones Mashka is what I said. In other words, it means if you take a boat and you put it on top of water, but there's a hole in it, if water's not going to leak in, so then that's not Kones Mashka. Even though if you put water in that boat, it would drip out. That's all. Okay. So that's the first step. Okay, that's the way Rashi and Tosfos read the Gemara. Now, there is another Girsa, but this I'm not going to dwell upon. If you look at the Rif in Brachos, remember all these dinim are quoted by the Rif in Brachos towards the end of the 8th Perek, okay, because that's where really Netilas Shadayim belongs. The Rambam puts Netilas Shadayim in Brachos, in Hilchos Brachos, like the 5th or 6th Perek or something like that. Where that's where the Rambam has the dinim there, because it's really relevant heavily to brachos and less tefillah and so on.
Oh, and the last paragraph of mikvos.
Netila shadayim he has there. Okay, I haven't learned mikvos, so I'll take your word for it. So they have a girsa there that if it's bazia davla bekonis mashke, it's no good. Why? Because they apparently understood that this was netila. It's going on the last case. Remember, when we say v'ibazia davla, so which does that go on? Does that mean if you're samoch the e mikra of legabe davla, or does that go on hayarisha de dalai? The way Rashi read the third statement, v'ibazia davla, which is that going on? The first or second? Din number one is that Arisa de la law, you can't do Natila, and you can't do Natila because there's a Kach Gavra. But if you din number two, but if you put your hands close enough, it's Mikach Gavra. What? No, it's simply understanding what the step. Well, listen, just explain to me the Ibazia Davla. If there's a hole in the Davla of Kones Mashka,
then doesn't matter where you put your
hands. Doesn't matter where you put it. It means it's going back really on the first. It's going back on the first. However, The Rambam is saying that on the first, even though normally it's not kosher, Ibezia Davlet is kosher. The Girsa of the Rif, and I believe the Rambam also, is that no, it's going on the second half. Ibezia Davlet's no good. Because what are you doing? You're doing the Tilas Yadayim. How are you doing the Tilas Yadayim? Where's the that's interesting. The Bezia Davla also doesn't mean the pipe. It means the kli with which he's drawing.
Right, because there's no pipe, you said, right?
Well, they might have a pipe, I'm not sure, but the Davla means the guy is drawing the water. If the kli that he pours the water, however he pours it into the pipe, into the ground, whatever it is, has a nekev and a pekonis mashke, then it's no good. Why not?
Why?
Because it's not a kli. Which is the next Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, klisha nike bekones mashke, ain't notlin mimenu liyadayim.
So that's likely the correct way, the original reading, right?
La dafka. I had only a quick look at the Kisveyad. Some have that statement, I think, before this whole discussion, actually. The one Ksavyad, it looked like it had something like that before. But the Gir says, for ibeziyadavla bekones mashke, then it's no good. We have melef life limatul basa yadayim. Okay, now, which, by the way, introduces something that we hadn't spoken about until now, but Rashi did add in, which is tefillah. Tevila as opposed to netila. So there is a very important sheet of the Bahag. I don't remember how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Does anybody know how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? You guys remember from last year?
Tevila today?
Tevila and a kli. Oh. I know it gets quoted in Shulchan Aruch. I don't remember how it comes out.
No, I think he specifies like a river or something like that.
I believe it's quoted. I don't remember how it ranks in the opinions. One second. So the Mechaber says, quotes the following, Simen Kufnun Tes Sivches, Im Hichnes Yadav L'toch Kli Shalmayim V'shich Sheikh Yadav Ahem. If you dip your hands, your two hands into water, and you shake your hands around in there, Im HaKli Mechuber L'Karka L'Oselo Netila, because it's Mayim Shuvim, so it's for sure a Pasol, and it looks like you're doing it in a Mikvah, and it's a Pasol Mikvah. V'im Eina Mechuber L'Karka Yesh Omim Sholselo Tvila, that Netila, that is the din of the Bahag. Okay, so the Mechaber does say, in fact, that b'shasat chach you can rely upon the sheet of the Baha'i. Now, why you would have to do that, I don't really know.
It's because it's netila, so it's never considered tevila.
It's treated like netila. I think there's a machlokes Rishon on the Rashba quotes two deos. As to what bracha you're supposed to make. Do you make, in this case, al netila shedayim or tefila shedayim? Is this called tefila or netila? I don't think he has that by general tefila. I think he has it specifically by tefila in a kli.
So what kind of kli would this be?
Well, it would be a kli that were too difficult for you to tilt on its side, but there was water in there.
And it wasn't.
And you had no other kli. What?
And it wasn't
mechubed to the ground. It was too heavy.
The yom shol shlomo.
Okay.
What if you only had... Couldn't you?
My
how so much water would you need then in this kli? Would that be a rabbi?
Yeah.
Less than a rabbi?
Enough to get your hands underneath.
Sitting on the ground, what does that count as?
What's that?
Sitting.
No, it has to be mechuba l'karka. Okay. So the Bahag said that you're allowed to do, Bahag el chatchila, you're allowed to do netila in a kli. A tvila in a kli. You can do tvila in the karka if you have a kosher mikvah. You can do tvila in a kli, even though it's obviously not a kosher mikvah. So the question is, what does our Gemara have to say to the Bahag? So the question they all ask is, if the Bahag allows in the Tila, Tfila, even when there's less than Arba'in Sa'a, so why isn't Arisa the Dalai problematic? Now you already sort of know part of the answer already because I've already filled it in based upon what the Shulchan Aruch said, which is the Rashba and the Ramban, the Rashba and the Ramban asked this question, and the Ramban was mitarets that there's a difference between it's been when it's Bekarka and Bekli. The Bahag Sheet is only when it's Bekli. When it's Bekarka, because it's going to be confused with Mikvah and it's Mayim Shuvim and there's no Mem or there's no Mem Sa, so then it's going to be Pasul. It's probably because it's Shuvim, not so much because it's not because of the Mem Sa, because they hold that you don't need Mem Sa. Now, in respect to this din, there's a very important din that you should be aware of. We're going to read Tosos starting tomorrow. We'll get through that Tosos and then go on. But you should be aware of the following din. If you have a chance, take a look in the Ritva on this sugya. There's a din called Hamshacha. Hamshacha means the following. A mikvah is 40 sa', a sa' is 6 kaven, a kav is 4 lugin, which means that a mikvah is 960 lugin. The rule is that if you have 3 lugin, fall into an incomplete mikvah. So let's say you have 957 lugin of mayim ksherim and 3 lugin of mayim shuvim fall in, the mikvah is psulin. It doesn't matter how much water you add to it subsequently. That is assumed to be, that shear for sure is the Rabbanon. Now, there is a way, however, let's say you don't have enough regular mayim, but you already have a majority of a mikvah. You already have a majority of a mikvah, so the din is that you can do what's called, I don't think it's called Hamshacha, it's called Margilin. I think Hamshacha might be the other term for it, which is, you go a certain distance from the mikvah itself, I forget how many tefachim or amos away, where you first pour the water. You can pour the water out of the kli, and then the water will flow, not directly, you can't pour it directly into the mikvah, but if you pour it outside and then it flows in, up to a majority of the mikvah, you can be machshir mikvah that way. Okay, that's a very important din. So in this case, if you have, strangely enough, if you have no kli, don't ask. If something that's not a kasher or kli, but you want to make a pit in the ground, and you want to do tefillah shadayin there, so the Ritva says that you could be margil, you could pour it outside. Let's say you have this non-kli kli that's holding the water, but it's got a hole in it. So you do is make a little hole in the ground, you pour the water down, and through this this flowing process, your metaher, he says, by Natila Sadaim, you can do it Lagamra, even if it's all Mayim Shuvim in this respect. But
even
as long,
if your hands end up
but
dirty.
If it's poured directly into the pit, into the ground, that's called Mayim Shuvim and it's no good. So they distinguish between when it's in a Kli and when it's in the Karka. When it's in the Karka, because it looks like a mikvah, they asked it if it was Mayim Shuvim. When it's in a Kli and it doesn't look like you're doing Tvila Mamish, so the din of Tvila in a Kli, Biyadayim is the same thing as Netila B'Kli, Netila Shadayim B'Kli, and has the same din. That's the way they explain the Sheet of the Bahag. And as you just heard, the Mechaber Paskins like the Bahag, with that understanding of the Bahag, meaning only when it's B'Kli, not B'Karka, B'Shas Hadchak. That's how he Paskins B'Shas Hadchak. But the basic problem really is our Gemara, and that works very nicely if you say like the Ramban, that a arisa de daloi is not a kli that's separate, it's actually the karka, it's a ditch in the ground. However, if you say like Rashi that it's a tzinor, well then that doesn't work so well. Because here you're dealing with a kli as well, and then you have to figure out exactly what is going on. So Tosos is going to dwell at some length within this shita as to how to get around the problem of the Bahag. You should take a look, those of you who have the critical edition. There is another Girsa in the Gemara, but if you look in the Rashba, he quotes it. The Dibar Matzah quotes the full Girsa, which is something along the lines of Hayarisa de Dalai, Ein Notli Menu Yadayim, Ein Mapilin Bo Yadayim, Ein Notli Menu Yadayim, De La Asami Koch Gavra, Ein Mapilin Bo Yadayim, because it's Mayim Shuvim. Rashi clearly did not have this Girsa, because why did Rashi say it's Pasul, Tefillah? The Gemara didn't say it's Pasul Tefillah, but Rashi adds it in based upon the conclusion of the Gemara, because they didn't have a Shir. Rashi obviously did not have the Girsa. That Girsa is found in Kemat all the Rishonim, and except for Rashi, I think it's Tosos, maybe Tosos, not sure about Tosos. And it is also found in all four Kisvayad that we have of Gemara Chulin, Kinyan Ksav Yamin. For some reason, I suspect because of Rashi, it didn't make it into the printed edition of the Shas. Okay, so we will talk about how to finish working out the Bahag tomorrow. Any questions about this?
Okay. So what are we preparing for tomorrow?
So if you haven't prepared already, do Tosos, the big Tosos, the low. And then go on in the Gemara. Onward, soldiers. Tomorrow, I hope, although it might be wishful thinking, to make it to the Mishnah on Kuf Zayin Amid Beis.
Really? So I think wishful thinking is...